Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 425. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Tony's here.
Is Tony stretching or burping from his beer or what?
Trying to clear his throat.
Jeff is here.
Hello.
And Pete is here too.
Hello.
I don't know. Let's hit the games because we don't have a lot of them. So let's hit them real quick. I spent a lot of time last week talking about Red Dead. I guess we should revisit that a little bit. Jeff, you actually have some tech talk about it. So
I bought a Xbox One X back in August, I had some issues with it this last week, so I had to send it in for repairs. And I was very bummed out and depressed about all this until I remembered, oh yeah, I still have my old Xbox One downstairs in the basement. It just, the disk drive is broke, but I own Red Dead digitally. So I'm like, I'm good. So I busted that out, and I'm here to say, and I'm not usually, don't have, a great eye for this shit or anything, but... and I've said since probably the 360 era that I can barely tell a difference between anything. Right. There's a huge difference between Xbox One X version of Red Dead 2 and the Xbox, so same game, but you play on a regular Xbox One, night and day. Even my girlfriend was like, oh my God, this looks like shit.
I've been trying to tell you this. It's not just Red Dead. It's so many games look infinitely better.
I would say, I'm sure almost everything looks... Everything's going to look at least a little better, probably, right? Or, especially anything that's, 4K enhanced, right?
Well, especially anything that... I mean, not just 4K enhanced, either. Or anything that has, better... anything that has, that... the better lighting techniques and... anything that's designed... I know Red Dead's not designed around HDR, but...
Television that can display at 4K resolution? Simply the new textures?
No, I bought them both at the same. In August, I bought a 4K TV and Xbox One X.
Damn.
And I do hear that the Xbox One X version of Red Dead 2 is the best looking version. It's better than PS4 Pro or whatever.
People call it it's the highest end.
It makes sense. It looks incredible on Xbox One X, but it's jarring. If you have an Xbox One in your house hooked up somewhere, just throw it in or whatever. I'm telling you, you'll notice right away. You'll be dear God, nowhere near as good. It's as drastic as a new system. So that was cool, nice reaffirmation of having bought this. I dropped $1,200 at Walmart randomly on a Sunday. I just wanted to point that out, for real. Holy
and
shit.
And at the end of this, Jeff, you're going to say, Tony, you were right. You need to say that.
Sure. If you said it, you were right. So, I don't know what you're saying.
So,
what were you right about?
About it being the Xbox One X being a huge upgrade over the Xbox One.
Yeah, because I do remember arguing that, it's a marginal... and it is kind of... I don't know.
I think with the exception of this game, that's probably true, though. I've never heard even Jeff of all people.
No!
On this example, at the very least, I will say... But it just in general, too, though, just going to watch, Netflix or whatever, it just doesn't look quite as good as it does on my Xbox. Maybe that's in my head, but it doesn't.
I feel like that's
in your head.
Cool. I think because it does output HDR and shit like that. Yep. But again, I don't know if Netflix is trying to do that.
But I was gonna say, I think because you're streaming it, that's more on Netflix's end.
Again, that's probably in my head, but. It's inarguable. The Red Dead is inarguable. Way lower texture count, I guarantee you, or whatever.
Yes, I mean, I think that's the definition of it, but I do think it's funny that even you of all people
I'm not good at detecting that stuff really, and it was pretty distinct and obvious here, I thought.
Well, so you just told Tony he was right.
Yeah, I love those.
All right, it's time to end the show then. I think that we're done.
No more shows.
The same show right there. Tony was right.
but Tony and I had some issues with Red Dead last week.
Yeah.
And not that you didn't, but you seemed more forgiving of them, I guess, than the two of us were. Maybe you're coming around a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't telling you you guys were wrong last week.
Right. No, you weren't telling us we were wrong.
But I'm here to tell you were right.
Okay, and he said it twice.
Which is funny because now I can go back and dig up the tweets that Jeff was sending me when we were talking about Game of the Year, where he was like,
"Oh yeah,
there's
I know.
No way in hell this isn't the greatest game that was made this year, or maybe like for the past 10 years.
Honestly, I'm still not 100% sure. Like, I still would maybe give it Game of the Year just because I think this has been a really bad year. Like, I think it's like the most... Like, the things I could be most excited about are, like, these little $10 titles.
That are, like, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like,
no, nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. There isn't. But
like, we don't have to constantly give Game of the Year to a $60 AAA release. Like, if we all voted for Dead Cells, then we're all going to fucking vote for Dead Cells. Like, you know.
I mean, I'm not going to tip my hat to where I'm leaning in here. But, like, I just think it's a weak year. I do. I think it's even in that realm. It's just, yeah, there's good games, but there's nothing that's like, this is the game of the year. Like, it's just, last year I felt very strongly about a certain game. You know what I mean? Like, this year's just like.
Yes, no shit.
This year, like, I could still see, honestly, I don't know if it'll be my number one anymore, but like, it could be. That's honestly how weak I think the field is, but.
I don't know if that, this is a larger discussion, but like, I think a year like 2017 though only seems to come around once every
10 years. Yeah.
Now, right? Like in 2007, and then 1997, et cetera. We're like, it's like the year where everybody's figured out how the console hardware works.
Everyone starts
releasing games. So there's like 50 AAA amazing AAA releases, and you know, it's really hard to pick. And you know, since when did the planets align in such a way where Nintendo releases two of their biggest AAA games in the same year, right? Like, I don't think this is as bad of the year. What was it? What was the year where Giant Bomb gave Shadow of Mordor Game of the Year?
It's only a couple years.
2013.
I think that might have been one of the worst years.
That year was
2014.
Two years ago, I gave The Witness Game of the Year. That was obviously not a super strong year. You know?
That was a mistake.
Well, what did we give it to?
Did we give it to Final Fantasy?
Yeah. Like, come on. That's a Game of the Year in a real weak year, maybe. And that's how I feel about Red Dead. It's a Game of the Year in a weak-ass year. Like,
There's Spider-Man, there's God of War. Like, I mean, I'm not like on
Assassin's Creed Odyssey is fantastic.
Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty's really good this year, from what I've heard. And Battlefield's coming out soon.
Battlefield comes out. Yeah, actually, the EA Access trial just started today.
Yeah, Fallout 76 is still in a couple weeks. I still might try that.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it all shakes out. But I mean,
Hitman next week.
Yeah,
reviews are hitting for Hitman, and it's pretty good.
I'm sure.
That's a game that I'm never going to buy because it's way more fun for me to watch people play it than it is.
I'm going to stream that game. Dude. I'm going to blast video clips. I'm excited.
Yeah. Dude, Hitman's fun to play. Really fun.
I like watching people react to the dumb shit that they do. Like, my favorite experience of Hitman was watching the Giant Bomb's Hit Miss video where. With Vinny, where he played it in not last year but the year before, and it was just an hour of like, you know, the fucking like Marx Brothers or Three Stooges like trying to kill somebody. It was amazing. Like, I feel like I couldn't get that sense of humor from myself almost. But
there's still plenty
of year left, is my point, because it's only November and everyone's gonna dump all their big shit in this year, so. Also, I think the funny thing is there are plenty of people yelling at their phones right now about how we're like, man, we're only going to get Red Dead might be only game of the year because it was such a shit year. If I looked at the Metacritic, it's probably like 98 right now or something.
Yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit about this last week. I think the reviews were definitely overblowing.
It's at a 97
right now. Well, look, I think it will win some categories on our game of the year. But just getting away from that game of the year talk about it, but it's just like, I don't know, like, Rockstar has been kind of a gold standard in terms of, like, production values and all that. Like,
for sure.
When they have a game come out, it's a big deal. And that's totally true again here. Like, this is definitely gold standard, like, especially on a technical level, is like a gold standard game.
Gold standard in what way, though? Because,
aging gold. Like, this game
feels old.
I said it last week. I was like, dude, it exposed Rockstar for not having paid attention to what anyone else is. Even Nintendo, at some point, paid attention to what other people were doing and were like, you know what? Instead of having 4 hours of tutorial and learning at the beginning of the game, we're gonna throw you in the toy box and let you play.
Right.
And here it's like Rockstar. I think they don't examine what other people are doing. They're so stuck in with like we're the best, and we've developed how we make a game that they've been making the same game since 2007. Like it's boring at this point.
Right.
And Red Dead, especially, like the first time it was amazing, but like Red Dead, like it's like GTA but slower paced. Well, this is definitely that, like, again, like, and you notice
it. Even slower
paced. Well, so I think you just notice it more. We're just like, God damn, dude, every mission, all I'm doing is fucking riding around and listening to people talk, and it's boring.
Right, but the original Red Dead was like that. And maybe it's obviously a little...
It's dated now.
I don't know if it was to that degree, but I mean... Like, it was the game still had a very deliberate pace to it that, like...
Yeah,
for
it's
sure.
It's now... We're now what? So there was... Did GTA 4 come out before Red Dead?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So since GTA 4, this has kind of been their you know, what they've done.
Like, yeah, they're...
And Red Dead is slower paced because of the setting. You're riding around on a horse and shit. But, like, it's just they have leaned into it so hard.
They went even harder. Like, it's like, I feel that with Red Dead 2, Red Dead Redemption 2, that it's even more slow paced than Red Dead Redemption. Like, it
felt like they really wanted to make a simulation game. Like more and than honestly, like a movie or anything, like their other games, it was just like one of those like survival simulation games and stuff.
Like some of those aspects are some of the best. Like honestly, just hanging out in the world and it doesn't even matter what the fuck you're doing, really, is kind of cool. Like that's kind of what I'm enjoying more. But I'm forcing myself to go through the story to just like get past it and say I beat the game. Also, like I saw what. Story was, you know,
and you need to for a while because I mean we talked
for a while, yeah.
Like last week, I was still like how do I do this? And then afterwards, I was like, I don't know, I'm getting these fucking like warnings that my horse is dirty or whatever. Like how do I do that? It was because I hadn't done a fucking tutorial mission in the camp. Like I had gone a different route. Like I had chosen a different person, so I was locked out of doing these things, and I'm still kind of locked out, like of some things, evidently, because there's still tutorial missions. Like I was listening to the Giant Bombcast this week, and like Brad Shoemaker, 20 hours in, was still doing tutorial missions.
Oh no.
Like, well, okay, yes, but he also...
He was just kind of fucking around, but that...
Right, he said that he spent a whole week, not just a whole week of in-game time, but, like, a whole week just, like, doing shit out in the world and, like,
got
back to finishing. I think the first two chapters of the game are almost, like, all tutorial.
Right, but then, like, you come along something that, like, it It's like, oh, well, this thing that, like, you...
Here's another system for you to think about.
Yeah,
right.
It doesn't indicate that, like...
None of it really matters, honestly, though.
Like, you need to do this. It's just like, oh, well, you know, whatever. We'll just, like, gonna give you error messages or not allow you to sell your special pelt or, like, a bunch of other bullshit that's going on in it. It's kind of nuts in the way that, like, For as many tutorial missions as it has, it doesn't point you towards them. And it certainly doesn't do it, like, in any sort of organic fashion. So, I don't know. Weirdly, though, I am enjoying it a little bit more now.
you get into the rhythm of it after a while. And it does pick up after the beginning. Like, the beginning is the worst, dude. Like, it's just so long and bullshit. Like, eventually it does open up and become a normal open world game where you can fuck around if you want, or, you know, there's other things to do.
Yeah, like I went and did, like, a bounty. There are weird things about it, though. So there's this early mission where you kind of, you've captured, like, one of the O'Driscoll guys.
Mm-hmm.
You have him tied to your tree. And, like, he eventually unlocks a mission, like, you can torture him, mm-hmm, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you go on this mission with him and some of your buddies. And then that's, like, where it kind of introduces the wanted level, right? Like, they heard you shoot up this place where the O'Driscolls were at. The law is coming. Better get out of here. Get out of the circle, the red circle. So I get out of the circle, which is pretty standard for VTA. And it's like, they don't know where you are. So it's like, but I left shit back there. So, like, I pulled out my bow because there were, like, some little animals. And so I started walking back up, and I was going to, like, get some of these, like, little pelts just for the hell of it. And this dude, like, starts riding up, and all of a sudden now I'm wanted again. now
I know it's bounty still, on my head. I think that was still happening in GTA 2. If, like, you hung around there too close and they kind of rolled near you, I think it would reactivate.
But it makes no sense. Like, you've escaped. Like, it's...
I know, but I think they... I don't know what you guys say. Like, I feel like that's been the case in, like, their other games, too.
It's just so stupid.
Maybe?
So dumb.
It makes less sense here. Like, police, okay, APV, they can talk to each other. Here it's, like, a bunch of dudes who can't communicate. It just doesn't make...
I think it's the same dude, though, right, Chris? It's like he's, like, still trotting out towards you, and then... Oh, all of a sudden reactivates because he found you, or no?
I mean, he wasn't even, like, near me. Like, I look like I'm hunting. Like, yeah. I bow out, like, and yeah, like, he's comes out of the woods or whatever, and it's like, now you've been, and then all of a sudden, like, five guys are shooting me dead. Like, oh, you have a bounty on your head. That doesn't mean you should kill me.
Like you can surrender, though. I know that. Like, it's like...
You put your weapons away.
You focus on the person, you, like, pull a left trigger, those are your options, and one of them, like, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes they just start shooting at you, and you're like, dude, I don't want, like, so I just let them kill me. Like, I don't want to, like, I want to be good here. I don't want to rack up my fucking bounties.
So
fuck that, yeah. You know?
So how do you clear your bounty? Like, do you just go to the sheriff and pay it? Because I try
to go to the post office. If you go to the sheriff, they'll attack you.
Which is like that. I think in every town the post office is just the train station. Like, it's just, like, the same, yeah. the station clerk.
Yeah, cause, like, I was like, all right, well, the sheriff seems like the right place to go to, like.
Yeah, like, let's square up.
And I go in there and it starts a new mission. It's like I hadn't done the bounty mission yet, so, like, they like go on the, like, oh, go hunt this dude down. I'm like, so then I, like, had to go do that mission and thinking, like, all right, I'll catch him. And then I can lower my bounty.
You know, you just read, I don't know why, I just thought of this stupid ass thing that happened to me a while back. I think this was in Valentine, too. Like, I don't know. Maybe Valentine, I don't know. But maybe it was Rhodes. Wherever they have a place where you could, like, buy masks or whatever the fuck. Like, weird headwear. Like, all right, so, like, I was in this town. I had a bounty. I paid it off. I'm wandering around. I go into the shop. I bought, like, an executioner's hood, like, so just, like, a black hood. And so, like, I walked out of the shop wearing that, and everyone was like, holy shit, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Like, everyone as they walked by was, like, saying something about it. And finally, like, someone just freaked out. Like, this guy needs to be stopped. And he started, like, shooting at me and shit. I was like, I'm not doing anything. And it was all because I was wearing this stupid executioner's mask, dude. And so then I had a wanted level again, and I had, like, a way bigger bounty.
Because you were wearing a fucking Halloween costume.
It was like, I had a bounty, and I owed money. And I had done nothing. I just wore a mask. So just beware if you find that executioner's hood.
Don't put it on.
Don't put it on in town, at least. Jesus Christ.
It's probably like it's one of the like pulling up your mask so you can rob people, like one of those things.
Yeah, I think it is. I don't like to bring the on it. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's probably what you did. It was like there on the wheel. I remember when I got on the horse, it was like in that same spot, kind of.
That's funny.
But yeah, speaking of hoods, have you guys run into the clan yet in the game?
No.
No, but I want to. It's the only reason I'm going to go back to that game eventually.
It's totally, like, it's one of those things where, like, you're traveling from point A to point B, like, there's something on the side of the road, you know, a guy like, oh! But, like, they were, like, a little more off in the woods, and there was no, like, kind of signaling towards it other than, like, if you were, like, riding with your horse and looked ahead, you'd see in the woods, like, the woods were all lit up, like, you know, orange light coming from the fires they had, like, torches. So, like, yeah, if you just ever see anything like that in the woods, head towards it, and that's them. You will run into it, I'm sure. That was fun. Like, that was very satisfying, killing those fucks. Or most of them ran away, but I killed, like, three of them. Because they like, I'm sure you guys have heard of they, like, light themselves on fire and shit. Like,
yeah.
Like, they try to fly across, and they themselves on fire.
Yeah, I've heard that one. I've heard
scatter.
Where they're it's like in the middle of the day where they're trying to like bring a cross so they can have a rally later, and they drop it and it kills the recruits.
Just like I don't know, like little touches like that are like what I'm still loving about playing it. And just like I don't know, like I you know more than the story, I want to know. What's up with that serial killer shit? Like, what's that? Like,
yeah, I think like the
you know what I mean.
The stuff around everything is
the world building. It's great. Story.
Yeah, but yeah, it's fine. It's just it does feel very much like a rockstar game from 2008. Like,
yeah.
I mean, whatever. It feels like a decade old game. So. I was kind of like not enjoying the speed of Red Dead. So what I've been doing is playing that for about an hour. And then I decided I needed something a little faster. So I went back and started playing Assassin's Creed Origins again, which I hadn't finished before.
Last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that setting. Like the Egyptian setting is
amazing.
It's a beautiful, it's like super lush, and I love the sandstorms, and I like the speed of everything, like the game played with nice speed. I mean, it's a little ridiculous, I can just trample people with my camel, but...
Yeah, camel.
Also, I can just trample people with my camel, and they're not
exactly.
Running off.
It's on me. It's... Fun,
right,
Rockstar. Remember fun?
Fun. That's kind of what I did too. I'm like, I can't. I'm not having fun with this. I'm going back to Assassin's Creed. And like, if you were like to create a mathematical equation of, you know, fun per minute in the game, Assassin's Creed is like way over.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can't. And I never thought in a million years I'd be saying something like that. Imagine me. From 2013, if you told me, like, if I could go back in time and tell old me, Jeff, one day you'll say, you know what? Assassin's Creed is a lot more fun than the latest Rockstar game.
You would punch yourself in the face.
Never would have, exactly. I'd be like, yes. Who the fuck are you? Where's the real Jeff? I would have fucking
and it's not. Life. It's not just that it's more fun. It's not even close.
Yeah. I mean, it's just that. For whatever reason, I haven't played Odyssey yet, but Origins like just has it down. Like,
I can see why you didn't.
I can see why you didn't like like the other Assassin's Creeds, but this one plays so much. It's so much more fluid.
It's an RPG. It's like an action RPG. It's also an RPG. Awesome.
There's loot, and like you're picking up shit, and you're upgrading your weapons, and you're upgrading your armor, and getting experience points, and upgrading your skills, and like there's so much going on, but it feels like a game and not work.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, I don't want to shit on Red Dead. Like I am enjoying it more, and
it's a different kind of pleasure, I guess. You know, I don't want to shit on either. Like I appreciate some of what Rockstar does, but just come on, like get away from some of your bad habits, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I only want to go in there and like spend like maybe like an hour or so at a time.
Exactly.
And then jump out and like play something else, get a nice palate cleanser, which Assassin's Creed is working really well for that. I'm assuming it's same for Tony with Odyssey.
Yeah.
Anything more to report on Odyssey? Or
I think Odyssey is awesome in every way. The more I play, the more I like it. The story is fantastic. I don't want to say any more about it than that, because I don't want to spoil it.
Right.
But it is so, so good. I actually experienced emotions.
Oh, that's something that doesn't happen.
Time.
I'd forgotten what it was like.
I'm looking forward to getting that on Black Friday. There's a bunch of places that are going to have it for $35. So.
Yeah, I think it's only $30 at Best Buy.
Oh, nice. So I'll definitely be getting that. You play anything else, Tony?
Nope, just lots and lots of Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. Have you played more Red Dead or no? Or you said you just kind of like switched over and never looked back.
I switched. I'm like, I'm done with Red Dead.
I can't blame you. Like, I put
12 hours in. I wasn't having fun anymore. That's enough.
A big reason I'm trying to stick with it is because I know I could be sucked away. Like, and it sucks too because, like, I'm playing Dark Souls right now. At the same time, it's like every time I'm playing Red Dead, that's all I'm thinking about is, like, how I want to go back and play Dark Souls. Like, which is crazy because I've played Dark Souls before. It's old as shit. It's just so much better. Like, it's so, like it was, like, if Dark Souls 1 came out this year, I would probably give it, like, Game of the Year this year. Like if it were a new game, you know? And so, like, to be switching between those two is kind of weird, because it's, like, Red Dead's on a cutting edge in some ways, but in many ways, I'm just, like, all I'm thinking about is, like, man, I gotta get these stats up in Dark Souls or I'm fucked.
And
like,
you're playing Dark Souls on the Switch?
Yeah, I'm playing it like anytime we're watching something. Usually when we're watching something, I'll be playing it handheld.
So I've been playing also on the Switch. Another.
Oh yeah.
Diablo 3, the Eternal Collection is out now on Switch, and I've been playing a bit of that.
That's like what, 5 years old, right?
Yeah.
Something at least like that. I would say. Yeah. And still amazing, right?
Oh, it's still great. Yeah, it's a 6-year-old game now, actually. But, it originally came out on PC in 2012, which is when I first played it.
Damn.
That game's still great. It's a ton of fun. They've done so many refinements to it now that just it flows so much better. I hadn't been doing the season stuff, but Sean and I both kind of we dug into it a bit, and he actually discovered that they don't scrap your season character; they'll just move it to a non-season character when you're done. So I started a season character, which you'll get like better drops and stuff for playing that way. There's like challenges, there's like season challenges and stuff to go along playing it that way. And then once the season's over, sometime in December, they'll just move that to like a regular character. But that game is really good.
What is the season stuff? Like, what are you playing the campaign or?
So you start. So it's like season is it. They're like, you know, they're seasons. There's a time period, start and finish. But you'll start a new character. So for each season, you have to start from level one and work your way through. And there's a bunch of different challenges, like different tiers of challenges, which will unlock better and better rewards as you complete them.
Okay.
So I also heard, there's a reason to play it, I guess.
Sorry, I was gonna say I also heard that like adventure mode is like open right away.
Yep. Yeah, right from the beginning.
So that's pretty awesome. If you don't want to fuck around, like, because honestly, I don't even know if I'd give a fuck about actually doing the campaign again. I'd probably rather just do that.
Hey, campaign's fine. Like, it's basically just running around the map, killing shit. Like, you don't. At this point, I'm not even really listening to any of the dialogue.
Yeah, I know. You just like skip, kill. Yeah.
It's because I've already played through the game multiple times. But I am going like picking up like the books, which are basically just audio logs, because they give you experience. So I'll pick them up and move on. But
yeah,
that game's really fun. It looks great on the TV. Less so on the handheld mode, but it plays well there.
That's like, dude, like, that's the point. Like, yeah, Dark Souls does not look super amazing either, but it's just like, dude, I'm playing Dark Souls in handheld.
I'm playing Diablo 3, like the actual Diablo 3. I'm playing it on a handheld while I'm watching football.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Like, it's just some. It doesn't get better than that. It's like amazing. Like, yeah, Switch is amazing because of that.
They did a great job with that. So.
And just to get like the fact that we're getting like some of the like the best games of all time like that, like Diablo, fucking Dark Souls. Fuck yes.
Yep. Very very well done. If you like Diablo and want to play it in handheld mode, I think that, you know, pick up. There's another Diablo game coming. We'll talk about that in a second. I got one other thing, real brief. We don't really talk books on this show, but I bought a book this week that it's kind of a coffee table book called The Game Console. It is a photo book of consoles from going all the way back to the first ones released, like the Pong machines. Through today, and it's some of them, like, they've taken them apart, and like you can see the breakdown of how they were built, and there's also like a lot of like stuff in here I didn't even know were fucking consoles. So it's been a really cool like history kind of experience to go through, like, and see how some of this stuff came to be and how they put some of the shit together and to see some of the nonsense that has been released over the years.
Is it like comprehensive? Is it like everything you think?
It's very comprehensive. I don't think it has everything.
But like, if I want to, I can flip to the TurboGrafx-16 page or whatever. Like,
yeah. That's in here. And like, they have like, so the TurboGrafx-16 is, you know, it is what it is.
It's my love.
Is it? Like,
I love that system. Yeah.
Really? I owned one as a kid, but
I never owned it either. That's part of the mystique. Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
What hell's no mystique for you? Like, the to me, it was this magical thing that I played at my uncle's when we were there. You know.
Yeah.
And he had Blazing Lasers, which I mean. Blazing Lasers and Bonk was just like, especially in like 1991 or whatever, it was just mind blowing.
So yeah, there's actually like a nice spread on it, because the TurboGrafx-16 also had the Turbo CD, which was like the CD add on that
PC Engine.
Yeah, and also
double.
It doubled as like a portable CD player, but it was like this giant brick. Like, because that was before, like, you know, Discmans and shit. But yeah, there was also like the Turbo Duo, which had the CD player built into
yes,
it.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah.
And then like the PC Engine is the
it's just the Turbo Graphics.
Like, there's yeah, it's the Turbo Graphics over in Japan.
Yeah,
But they have like they even have that because that came in different
casing different order.
Instances over there over in Japan. That came out in 87, where the TurboGrafx 16 came out in 89 here. Like, different models of it. There's, like, cool shit like the Atari XE game system, which is this, like, weird-looking Atari console that has, like, pastel buttons. And just some nutso shit in here that that these companies put together. Cool breakdown of the Lynx and the Game Gear and yeah, it's a pretty cool thing. And like, if you know, if you're looking for a coffee table book, might work. It's like $25 on Amazon. So
is that where you picked it up?
Yeah, somebody on Twitter actually tweeted that it was coming out, and I was like, that sounds cool, and I like, clicked on.
It does sound cool, actually.
So it's just like being able to look through, and it goes all the way through to like today, through this generation. So like the Switch is also in the, along with like stuff like the Amazon Fire TV and the Ouya.
Ouya!
Damn, remember the Ouya?
It seems like it was ages ago, right?
Right? It does. Everything seems like it was so long ago.
What's the name of it again, Chris?
It's called the Game Console. It's by Evan Amos.
Cool.
Damn, dude, it's fucking like. Oh wait, that's Kindle price.
Yeah, no, it should be $25.
If you get it on the Kindle, you can't put it on your coffee table, Jeff.
It's on sale for $17.
Yeah, that's the price I got it at. That's what they sent it to me and said, you got a rebate.
I might get this for my dad.
$17 is like pretty cheap for a coffee table book too. Is that hardcover?
It is hardcover, yeah.
All right.
I've never heard of a soft cover.
Yeah, table. I know. I want to make sure. I'm like, that seems cheap.
So it is like I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever like gotten like hardcover art books before. Like, the text in there is not in depth. Like, it's not a reading book. Like,
right, you're not meant to read it. You're meant to. It's literally the definition of a picture book.
But there's enough information on the console, so like you'll get something out of it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's that. That's
cool.
And Pete, you have returned. Was it in Anaheim? Were you in Anaheim?
Yeah, I was in Anaheim. Yeah.
Yeah. You were in Anaheim for the debacle that was BlizzCon.
Oh, okay.
The BlizzBockle.
I want to say that I don't have any problem with what happened there, but
well, that's like you got saying it like that makes it sound like, I don't know, way worse than it actually was in every regard. Like,
I don't know, but you look at some of these YouTubers, and like, the world ended last week, Pete. Like, there is no world. We are
we unfortunately went to BlizzCon with some of those types of people, not on purpose. They just happened to be there at the same time. I mean, so there were a couple of things that like came out of BlizzCon. It was the Warcraft 3 remaster.
Really cool.
Which a lot of people are super into. I didn't play the demo there. I probably should have, but I am less interested in Blizzard's single player
stuff.
Content, especially when it comes to RTSs. If they had like multiplayer stuff that you could have played, I probably would have played that. But
like, I mean, that's what I go to Blizzard RTSs for. Like, so
for what?
Like, for the single player stuff.
Yeah, well, I guess they had the culling mission, which, if like you know of stuff from Warcraft 3, that's an important mission to you, I guess. But let's see, there was that, and then, I mean, they had this wasn't going to be a particularly big BlizzCon. Like, it was big only in the sense that Mike Morhaime, like, this was his last one.
Okay.
Who was the president of Blizzard and King for, like, 27 years or something. And stuff like that. So, like, he stepped down, like, in a, you know, in a public manner to where, like, you know, he could then let the new guy come in and, like, present BlizzCon and all that stuff. I mean, it's just like, okay, hey, we announced a new Warcraft expansion, or Hearthstone expansion. There's another Overwatch hero. There's, I don't know, if you could, you know, it's all, there's a new Heroes of the Storm
thing.
Hero and all that stuff. Like, I don't know, like, and even, like, with the Diablo thing, like, Blizzard had put out a blog post on their website saying, hey, we know what you guys want. We've been hearing the rumors. We're here to tell you that it ain't coming. They didn't literally come out and say, we're not announcing Diablo 4, but they may as well have.
Yeah, that's exactly what I took that as, is that Diablo 4 is not coming from BlizzCon. They're tempering expectations. I will say that, and Fozzie, I think, thought this as well, that maybe the announcement would have been a Diablo 2 or
right. No, Diablo the way remaster. That it seems like that Blizzard is structured is that the remakes or remasters are not made by the dev team associated with that game.
Right.
They're made by a separate team called Blizzard Classics.
Yeah.
So what they're working on is the Warcraft 3 one right now. So, so like the Diablo team is not going to make a Diablo 2 remaster. That would be the Classics team that does that sort of thing, and they're doing a different game right now. So,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, like, so I don't blame people for maybe being disappointed, right? Like, hey, that's
perfectly acceptable to be disappointed that, like,
what if it's just a game that you're not into, then you're not into it, like,
right? You
know? I do think that maybe Blizzard misstepped only in the way of giving us the very last announcement. They maybe should have either put that in the opening or, like, because, like, at that point, everyone was still running high off of things like Warcraft 3 Remaster and the Overwatch hero that everyone was super into.
Right.
But, and then to, like, end on that seemed really weird structurally. I feel like they could have saved themselves a large headache had they just put it in the beginning, like, it wasn't gonna, or maybe in the middle. I guess you don't.
Yeah, especially like, and just to clarify, we are talking about Diablo Immortal, which is the mobile phone game. Yeah, it's not being developed. Well, I guess it's being developed in conjunction with Blizzard, but it is not.
I think Blizzard's doing the art and, like, helping on the gameplay side, but, like, the actual programming is happening by this Chinese company, NetEase, which has made plenty of mobile games in the past and stuff like that. That, you know,
some might call the Diablo clones.
Well, so, yeah, and everyone was, like, clowning on the UI and being like, this all looks exactly the same. And it's like, yes, it looks like that because NetEase has put money into developing UI that works for these types of games on phones.
Which is probably why Blizzard picked them to develop this.
Well, and also because, they want the game to come out in China. Like, they want to enter the Chinese market and stuff like that. Like WoW has not been able to get in there for the longest time, and I don't know if WoW is even there yet or not. I actually ran into used to be GameSpots, but now Twitch's Mary Kish there, and we were talking about that stuff, and she wasn't sure if the things were, like, if they had their own shard yet or not for WoW, or how any of that worked, because I thought for some reason that WoW was insanely popular in China, but maybe it's not.
Yeah, no, I thought that, because, like, whenever you hear of, like, gold farmers, I always associated that with people from China.
Right. Sort of like, because, like, and the reason I say that is because, like, Eve has its own charred in China, where they're separated entirely from the rest of EVE Online, but right. they're still able to play the game because they have their own servers. So, I don't know. But they... I mean, China, since China's been sort of ever so slightly unloosening their grip on what they will and will not allow into the country, everyone's trying to get in there. It's a whole new market. It's like, you know, it's the most populated country on the planet, I think. Say Nevada or India, I'm not sure which is the biggest. But
a lot of people live there. It's a big market.
Exactly, right? Like, of people that they just couldn't get to before. Like, it's so, it's billions and of dollars just waiting and stuff like that, you know? Like, even, this is slightly related, but like, you know, even Ubisoft is out there. They're making changes to Rainbow Six Siege. Not gameplay ones, but visual changes to fit within the... So that way they can release this, they can just have the game the same across the board, including in China and stuff like that. Like, you know, it's going to be how things are right now. And the fervor of people who were like, acted like this ruined their fucking lives, are the same people who were probably very angry at the Mass Effect 3 ending, or, you know, said that Star Wars The Last Jedi ruined their childhood, or stuff like that. Like, people who put way more stock into these things than is necessary.
Yep.
And stuff like that. So, yeah, I don't know. It was... It's just stupid. It's so dumb. It's so dumb. Like, yeah, I mean, like, look, plenty of companies make things that I'm not into, but I'm not, like, threatening to blow up Blizzard HQ because I didn't get my way.
Yeah, like, I'm also personally not into this, and I want Diablo 4, but it's like, whatever. Like, I wasn't mad about it at all.
Right, Obviously, they're gonna
do this. Like, dude, do you think they were not going to make a fucking mobile Diablo game? Like, come on. I don't know, dude.
Right, and like, everyone's like, it's not like it was with Hearthstone and stuff like that. It's like, no, this is exactly like what happened with Hearthstone. No one remembers, but they were, the way they teased Hearthstone was that they had a new Warcraft property being prepped. Like, in the Warcraft, like a new game in the Warcraft universe. They announce it and it's a fucking card game. Like, is exactly the same thing. Like, everyone was freaking out then too, and you know what, it's one of Blizzard's most popular games on the planet. Like,
well, I mean, that was like a perfect analogy, but like, you just made me think of, like, remember, like, before the Dark Knight, when pictures came out of Heath Ledger and everyone was like, no, it's like, yeah, you guys know everything, huh? Like, that turned out to be pretty damn good,
right? Like, it's you know, well, yeah, like, just people getting way ahead of themselves because it's not what they want, or they will think it's going to be terrible or anything like that. I mean, in this case, it's literally like, oh, hey, it's not what we wanted, so we're just going to, like, throw a giant gamer tantrum and stuff like that. Like,
Wind Waker, remember that?
Right, exactly. Yeah, totally. Like, right?
And just on top of that, like, even if you are, like, all upset about it, also, don't have to be an asshole to people. Like, I don't know.
Right, and I think that's
just don't buy it. Like, just don't buy it, or don't play it, because it's free, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exactly. It's going to be free to play, and so I don't have microtransactions. But you know what? What game doesn't these days?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm gonna play it.
I would play it. I don't like playing games on my phone. Like, I feel like I want to preserve that battery for other things. Like,
that's fine.
And you know what I mean? Like, I have that weird disconnect with my phone where, like, I don't play games here.
Right. I mean, I play Hearthstone on my phone. I have a couple of games here and there and stuff, but, like, yeah, no, I mean, I hear you.
But, like, other than that, fucking have at it, dude. Like, and if I had an iPad, I would be, like, all over that. Like, so, whatever. It's just so fucking stupid, man.
People
need to get a life, really. Like,
right, I mean, that's what it boils down to, is, like, fucking get over yourselves. Like, Blizzard's not, like, trying to attack you personally, and, you know.
Which, like, I mean, I don't know if you guys had mentioned that guy that got up and asked that question to the devs. Like,
there were plenty of guys like that, yeah, who was like, is this like a late April Fool's joke and stuff like that? Like,
yeah.
Just, like people being like absolute cunts about the whole thing. Like,
I just saw one question like that where like they went up and asked that to them. Like, I forgot which site posted that on Twitter, but it was like, check out this savage like takedown or whatever. And I was just And I was like one of the very first people to see that. Right away, I was like, no, that was like, come on, man. I guess the guy fucking worked hard on that. Like, whatever, dude. Like, it's okay to say you don't like something, but one, you haven't played it, and two, you're just being an asshole to this guy. Like, it's just a totally classless move, dude. Like, what the fuck was that?
I mean, the whole thing reeks of typical gamer entitlement.
Yeah, like, and just. Yeah, if you don't like it, it's fine if you want to make a video or review about how you don't like it, but to, like, say that to that guy's face like that, like, I don't know, I think it's just, like, a basic thing of manners, dude. Like, you just don't do that. Like, what the fuck?
To anybody, right? Would you want that done to you? Like, no.
Yeah. Like, it's just, and it's, like, that's exactly the word for it, too. It's, like, this entitlement. Like, you have this right to treat people like that because you're displeased. Like, I don't know. Like, you have the right to not play it. That's about it. And you have the right to, like, criticize it. But right.
These people,
there's
like,
no reason, there's no reason to treat people like anything, that. Like,
right? Like, yes, you buy their products and stuff, but that doesn't give you the entitlement to then be shitty to them later. Like, they only owe you for the product that you have purchased. If you have bought a game and the game does not work, that is a problem, right? But this, like, that doesn't, like, give you carte blanche on everything else there.
I mean, there are creators that I despise, and I wouldn't talk like that to them unprovoked like that. Like, it's just, I don't know, like, it's... I guess people think Twitter is real life or something now. Like, they can just fucking just talk shit to people.
I wonder why they think that.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, that was, I was just like, fuck that guy, man.
Well, fuck all of them. Like, it's just,
and honestly, fuck everyone who's like, I guess it's, I can see people being like upset, like, oh man, I really hope it, like, but guess what, dude? They're making Diablo 4. It's not like the existence of this thing is preventing Diablo 4 from happening, and right, it's, and definitely not delaying it either. So. Shut the fuck up and chill, and you're gonna get your Diablo 4, and you'll probably play this fucking game too, you motherfucker.
God, man, if I were in Blizzard, I would just be slightly vindictive just for the fun of it.
Fucking ban some motherfuckers.
No, I would just like pretend like I was canceling the game or something like that. Like Diablo 4, that's it, we're done. You guys don't deserve it.
Oh, yeah.
We're releasing it only in China now.
There's no more Diablo. Enjoy the last release of Diablo ever.
It was on
Switch. Right. His phone.
We called it Diablo Immortal because you're gonna be playing it forever, motherfucker.
It'll never die.
But I mean, okay. So, but besides that, like, BlizzCon was fine. It was fun.
Okay, good.
You know, you go there, you
lots of cosplay.
Oh, tons of cosplay. I'm still posting pictures and stuff. I still have to edit a bunch of stuff. Like, my Instagram is gonna be flooded with that stuff. I mean, the new Overwatch hero is really cool, Ashe, and her ultimate Bob. It's real good, lots of fun. It's funny, like, ironically, I actually expected the StarCraft community to be the most upset at the time because, like, they opened the show with StarCraft 2, and they don't even bother. They're like, "Hey, man, StarCraft 2 is getting a new." Co-op hero for you guys to play. They don't even put up a picture or a video. They just immediately move on. Like,
something's coming for this.
They were like, if you guys want to see the new hero, just like go over to the StarCraft area and play. Like, and they're like, all right, and we're moving on. It's just like, oh, wow, no logo, no picture, no like preview video of the guy's abilities, nothing. Diablo managed to take that further away. The other cool announcement that happened that is completely unrelated to Blizzard but happened at BlizzCon was right before the opening ceremony, they had a dude from Bungie on like the pre-show, and they announced that they were making Destiny 2 free for PC players from November 5th to the 18th.
Okay.
So I'm actually playing it right now. Nice. It's the base game, but free is free. So like,
right. Well, that it makes sense. There's a report on Kotaku. It says Activision is not happy with Destiny 2's sales of Forsaken. So,
maybe if they bothered to launch a playable game from the beginning and people didn't expect to have to wait a year before it was the game they actually wanted, they might be better. Also, maybe they just need to make Destiny 3 a fucking MMO already because it's basically one. But yeah, I always thought the PC version was like better than I thought, but I guess not because they're just giving it away for free. Which is cool though, because then it's only a $40 upgrade fee to Forsaken. Right. Yep. And Forsaken comes with all of the previous DLC.
They just made that change, which was smart. Like, it was really dumb to not have that all included, but
is like that the big expansion for it or something?
Yes, Forsaken is like basically they're Taken King.
Yeah, okay.
At this point. But to kind of get there, you had to go through these other two, like Curse of Osiris and Warmind, which are these other two expansions. Curse of Osiris is bad. But Warmind's actually pretty good. And then to get to Forsaken, like, you had to go through all that. And so now it's all included as part of one. So for $40, yeah, you can get basically Ultimate Destiny at this point.
Right. Which, I mean, there's something to be said for that, at least.
Yeah.
And I'm way more willing to pay $40 to, like, upgrade to everything than to pay $100 or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess that was the rest of the BlizzCon news.
So there was some other stuff.
From BlizzCon or just news?
Just news in general.
Okay, yeah, I have a couple other things when
ready. I assume you have the Square Enix fire in there.
Right. All right, I have no idea what this is, but it's okay.
So yesterday, I guess in Japan, Square Enix had like a presentation about a Final Fantasy presentation, updates on Final Fantasy 15, because I guess they had announced that four more packs of DLC were supposed to be coming out for the game.
Yeah, they just announced a new season of content for Final Fantasy 15.
And now they were like, yeah, we're canceling three of those four. The only one that's still coming out, I think, was the first one that's supposed to come out next year, because it's probably done at this point. And the guy who took over for Tetsuya Nomura and finished the game, I don't remember his name.
Hajime Tabata.
Yes, he has left the company. He gave in a resignation letter, but it sounds like that he was asked for his resignation. Because the company also posted like a massive financial loss. Let's see if I can find the exact number.
$33 million.
Yeah, I don't know this Kotaku article is only about Final Fantasy 15, but yeah, I don't know. I guess that's a loss, but I don't know what their projections were. But I mean, I'm also not surprised. Like, a lot of people were shocked at this news and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, okay. The game took them 10 years to finish. And they also had to dump IO, right? Like,
yep.
They cut that out. So they're obviously going to take a loss on that and all that other stuff. And Tomb Raider has not been performing very well for them. And stuff. So, like, I mean, sure, they're picking things up. Like, they've been doing other really good shit, especially I was going to say with Monster Hunter, that's Capcom. Dragon Quest is doing really well for them and things like that. But And Final Fantasy 15, like, reviewed well and sold well, but I mean, you know, it's the Superman Returns problem, right? Like, it's just been in development for so long and so much money has been spent on it that there's no way that it could recoup 10 years worth of development time. It would have to be one of the most profitable games of all time.
And I think you're gonna see kind of the same thing with Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah.
Which is probably going to be less successful than Final Fantasy 15.
I mean, strictly just because I don't think that, like, there's a large audience for it, and to be fair, like,
PR's pretty big, right?
And they have been doing the spinoff games, and it is a sequel to a game that, you know, it's like the end of a story as opposed to just like Final Fantasy 15, where every story is different. So you have a little bit more of a connection there, but I just don't think the audience is like. I just don't, again, yeah, it's 10 years or whatever, right?
So. Don't underestimate Disney dorks.
No, I'm not. I'm awesome. Just. I love Kingdom Hearts for stupid as it is, but you know, you're talking about a series that, like their best selling game was the first one.
Is that true? Really? More than two?
Yes.
Wow. I would thought two would have been the highest selling one.
Kingdom Hearts 1, I'm pulling up, like, you know, from an aggregate site that does sales, but they have Kingdom Hearts at 6.5 million.
Wow, that's it.
And Kingdom Hearts 2 at 4.3 million. So
I'm surprised. I thought both of those have been double that at least.
Those are the 6.5 million.
Copies. That's good. Yeah.
That's especially for a game that was on one system. Like, it was on PS2. Was it?
These were on PS2 only back then.
Yeah.
And I mean, to be fair, like, all of them have, with the exception of this, of three coming up, they've only ever been on a single platform at a time.
I mean, yes, Kingdom Hearts and Kingdom Hearts 2 both received, like, re-releases on the PS3 and PS4.
Right, but, like, they haven't ever come out on, like...
Right, yeah, they've never been on Xbox before. They've never been on PC. Like, they've never spread out from the PlayStation before. So, I mean, those are not bad numbers for what that is, but to expect...
Yeah, I guess it's not going to save.
Like, and that's kind of, I mean, Final Fantasy 15 did well, but even that's a series that has kind of been, you know, toning down as well in terms of sales over the years. So,
right.
And I think the 15 did actually, yeah, it did pretty good, about 6 million over, 6 or 7 million over the two. Platforms, so
right. Like, I mean, like, I, for what it was, it not only reviewed pretty well, but I think sold pretty well. Like,
yeah, it's just like how much of that, like, they built a whole new engine for that, so that was probably a huge outlay of money, and then just being in development for, like, that was a game that started out as part of 13.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, like, that's, I don't know, they dumped so much money into those. And I was just thinking, like, they're not Rockstar, right? Like,
they don't have this huge war chest. Now,
you know, good news, at least, they did say that they were releasing a huge amount of, like, multiplayer content and stuff that will come to people who already own Final Fantasy 15 for free. And then if you want to just buy the multiplayer, if you just want to buy the multiplayer version, you can... just pay like $10.
Well, that's nice.
So,
I mean, at this point, announce Final Fantasy 16, which won't be out till, you know, 2047.
Now they don't have a lead guy. Some people think that the guy who resurrected Final Fantasy 14 will move on to do that. A lot of people are hoping he did too, because Final Fantasy, like, the one area that Square Enix has been really succeeding on is Final Fantasy 14.
People
love that game. And, you know, for him to pull that game out of the ashes is also pretty impressive. So I don't think excuse me, that his presence on 16 would be met with.
No, no.
But I honestly don't think that they will announce 16 until, you know, new consoles and whatnot are getting ready and stuff like that. But
we're not going to get that for a while.
Yeah.
I just look at it and go, you know, it took them almost 10 years or so to get Final Fantasy 15 out. Kingdom Hearts has been in development for what, 6, 7, 8 years at this point.
Well, the problem appears to be just that Tetsuya Nomura can't like get off his ass and finish games. So as long as they don't put him in charge of 16,
yeah,
it should be fine. Right. They could have plenty of other games in between all that.
And he's working on the 7 remake too, isn't he?
To a degree, I think he's only doing character design. I don't know if he's leading that team because I think he's still leading Kingdom Hearts 3 right now.
One would hope. Not that we're going to see the 7 remake anytime soon either, but I also look at so they have a Guardians of the Galaxy game in development and an Avengers game in development, but
those are their Western teams, so
right. But they were like those games were announced, and then we didn't see anything from them this year. Hopefully, we see something from next year.
Yeah, I hope so. I really don't know what's
going on. They have a problem with management of their projects.
Right. Well, and they now also they announced that game that Platinum is doing for them.
Yeah.
And stuff. And you bet your ass they're going to be making a Nier sequel at some point. So.
Oh, sure.
Whenever Yoko Taro has figured out his story. Yeah. Yeah, that it was weird. For them to even come out and say this stuff, but I mean, I guess better to get it out there, I guess.
Yeah, I guess if they had to reveal numbers or something, that probably just makes sense to get out there in front of it and be like, well, he's left the company, or
we fired him. To leave the company.
But also there's a, you know, we took a loss, and this is why, but we have a path forward. We're not telling you what that is, but...
Yeah, so I guess the last episode of DLC, episode Arden, will be out in March, and the DLC, multiplayer DLC will come out at some point.
That is a shame, because, I mean, I have no interest in the Arden chapter, but I was interested in the Lunafreya and the drawing a blank on the other
Ariana.
I was interested in both of those, but oh well.
Indeed.
any other news?
So not this isn't news so much as it is kind of interesting. So NPR put out NPD. An NPD and analyst review, put out some cool historical data, basically about the I don't know how much he put out. I'm just looking at these two Kotaku articles, and basically there's a list of the best 10 top selling games on the PlayStation, the N64, the Sega Saturn, the Dreamcast, and the Game Boy Color.
Okay.
As well as the best selling game of every year from 1995 to 2017. So I figure we can play a little game.
Okay.
Let's see who can guess what game was the best-selling game in these years. So real quick, I'll do the platform ones real quick just for funsies. So PlayStation, all three Crash Bandicoot games are in the top 10. The original Crash Bandicoot is the number one best-selling game on the PlayStation, with Gran Turismo in second and Final Fantasy VII in second and third place. Obviously, games like Super Mario 64. Super Mario 64 is the number one selling game on the N64.
Are you giving us all the answers?
No. These are the top tens on platforms. These aren't the overall year ones. These are they tweeted out of the individual games per year, but then these are cool ones per platform.
Okay, let's just start this game.
I'm scared. All
right. I mean, it's just we'll start in 95 and go to 2017. So just imagine sort of what was out during those times.
All right, so for each year, we have to say the number one selling game.
Yeah, just the one game per year. So in 1995, what was the best-selling game of all time?
Of all time or that year?
The best-selling game in of that year, of all time in that year,
those are two. It's the best-selling game. Best-selling game of all the time.
Not counting like of all platforms.
Okay. Like, so the best-selling game of that year.
Of that year. So like,
does this include PC?
They.
No, I don't. I don't know. The only thing that it says that it doesn't do is it doesn't track digital sales. So,
there could be a best-selling game for that year that is PC.
Oh, okay. So looking at this list, all of these games came out on console. It's not going to be like some really obscure like strategy game or something like that. Like that was randomly the best-selling game of all time or something.
I'm going to say Mortal Kombat 3.
Chris is
right.
Do you have the list in front of you, Chris?
I don't have a list. I did look 1995.
It's a game that released in 1995?
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat 3 is, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. 96.
Alright.
Now I don't want to take too long, so the first person to call it out will just be
Mario 64.
Oh, okay.
97.
Isn't that the Final Fantasy VII year? That can't be the best-selling game of that year, though, can it?
97. GoldenEye.
No.
Okay.
Close in terms of platform.
Ooh. So also on the N64. Huh. The hell else was on the N64 that year? All right, that's one I don't know.
That one would be Mario Kart 64.
Oh.
All right, 98. 98 was a big year for a lot of different games.
Oh man. I think still goes to Ocarina.
Yeah, there's the thing you'll notice with this list as you go through is that there's a bit of a trend in certain like pockets of time. So yeah, 98 was Ocarina of Time.
Okay.
99 is a really weird one. I didn't realize this game was that popular.
Unreal Tournament.
No?
I guess it's not a console game, is it?
Soul Reaver?
Nope.
It's also the year Tony Hawk came out.
It's not a PlayStation game.
It's not a PlayStation game.
There is, in fact, no PlayStation exclusive game on this entire list.
Okay.
This one's Donkey Kong 64.
Oh, fuck that.
Interesting.
Game. Really?
That's what I'm saying. In 1999, that was the best-selling game of.
That's very surprising.
Huh.
All right, so 2000 is also a weird one.
And it said no Sony games are on. No Sony exclusives.
Nope.
On the entire list ever.
Correct.
The Sims.
No?
It's a good guess, though.
It is a good guess. This one's weird because I don't actually know if any of you guys played this game, just strictly because you aren't big fans of the franchise. But Chris might be, actually.
I think I know.
No, you said it's not Sony.
Oh, wait.
Smash Brothers?
It's one of two things.
Did you say close? Really?
Close in terms of
Mario Kart?
No.
Oh, is it like Soul Calibur or fucking?
There are no duplicate games either, so it's not like this game was sold so well. It also
Banjo-Tooie.
No. Pokemon Stadium.
What?
Oh wow!
First Pokemon Stadium.
That's weird. Video games are weird. That year? Wow, that's hilarious.
2000.
By the way, I don't know why you guys. I'm Googling each time, just like looking at the pictures.
How dare you? Yeah. All right, 2001 was the Halo year, but yep. It's not Halo.
Nope. Think okay. So this was about when a certain, I might say, franchise that Tony is really a big fan of.
Holy shit! Conker's Bad Fur Day was 2001. Sorry.
Battle? No, it's not Battlefield.
It's really hard to remember that. Like the early 2000s were still part of that.
The N64, yeah.
The one like, that Tony's a big fan of, is it Civ 3?
I mean, no. Total War launched that year, but it can't be Total War.
Nah.
Number one selling game.
A yearly franchise.
A yearly?
Madden?
Yep.
Seriously? Wow. Yep,
shut NFL up. 2002 was the best selling game of 2001.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's a great year, dude. There was like Grand Theft Auto 3, Conker's Bad Fur Day. I know
it's nice to hear that people made the right choice.
Metal Gear Solid 2,
shit, Silent okay. Hill 2,
Tony Hawk 3. Like, dude, that's some good gaming.
So, okay, I'm sorry. I'm looking at this list now. There are 2 years in which games that only came out on the PS2 are on this list.
Oh, okay.
I forgot that they were Sony exclusives.
Okay.
Okay. Only in the most technical sense. So, yeah. So, all right, 2002. What was...
There's been all sorts of wacky answers. I don't know what to believe anymore.
Well, actually, from here, it gets really straightforward.
Like, Vice City. Sort of
yeah. That's exactly it.
That would have been... That's what I was thinking, but then he said it's like... It's like maybe it's one of those ones that's...
Just Beyond Good and Evil for 2003.
It is not Beyond
Good. No, it is not that.
Certainly that's not a...
2003.
Is that Knights of the Old Republic year?
2003. It might be, but it's definitely
it's not. That's not the answer, but...
No, that is that, no. Is that year, though.
That's a good year, dude. Look at Sands of Time.
No. Oh,
baby.
It's... Let's just say that there are several series in this game that have multiple entries on this list.
So Call of Duty?
Nope, not yet.
No? That's what I was thinking. Is it Medal of Honor or some shit?
Nope, it is Madden 2004.
Oh, yeah!
Shut up, dude!
Michael Vick I mean, here, yeah.
This kind of makes sense.
I thought he was 2004.
2004? I don't know. I mean,
Madden 2004 was the Michael Vick Madden.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, but that came out in the year 2003.
Right.
Robert's a year ahead.
Yeah. All right, 2004, obviously San Andreas.
Yep. That's correct.
Well, that's easy, Don.
All right, 2005.
This is a strong year, though. And also, by the way, Burnout 3 came out that year.
Wii Sports. 2005. Does that count?
Not out yet.
Oh, wait, that's 2006.
Yeah. What a good year this is. Look at MVP Baseball 2005. Remember the memories? Resident Evil 4. Oh my god. 50 Cent, Blood on the Sand.
I wish. Oh my god. That would be the most amazing thing ever.
Also, I think it was 50 Cent Bulletproof that year.
Bulletproof, yeah.
Is it Madden 06?
It was Madden 06.
Yeah, I like this. I like that Madden makes multiple.
I don't like it. On this list. I do remember. This was like the era, though. This was the era, though, when like Madden gets the midnight release. Like it was like a big deal, man.
All right. So what about 2006 then?
2006, Wii Sports. Easily, it's also one of the best-selling games of all time.
It was also Madden.
Also Madden. Yeah.
Also
I like your list, Pete. I like this list.
Now, I will say that this was the last year that Madden was the best-selling game of the year.
Damn it. And then people lost hope. They lost the light.
Well, actually, no. In 2007, a whole new genre sort of moved into the forefront.
Oh, so it's a shooter.
Oh, no.
No, not yet.
Halo 3?
Mm-mm. Call of Duty 4 is not the number one selling game of 2007.
Not a shooter. No. The genre that we don't really have these days anymore.
Rock Band.
Close.
Guitar Hero.
It's not Rock Band because Rock Band hadn't released yet.
Rock Band and Guitar Hero 3 were similar.
Yeah, Rock Band's the best song game in 2008.
Honestly, I think Guitar Hero 3 was the best. Or, like, that was where I have that and 2. I guess 1, 2, I loved it. I loved all first 3.
Yeah.
Anyways.
3 is really good.
Now that the game gets easy, once you figure it out, once you figure out the key from 2009 onward, with the exception of 1 year.
I think I know the key. Easy. I think I know the key.
What do you got?
So 2009's Modern Warfare 2, isn't it?
That's correct.
And Call of Duty.
Call of Duty from 2009 to 2012 of Modern Warfare, Black Ops, Modern Warfare 3, Black Ops 2. What was the best-selling game in 2013?
GTA 5.
Yes.
Right.
And then after that, it's just literally every other Call of Duty game.
Oh.
With GTA at, like, number 2 somehow.
No, GTA 5 was at was number 1 selling game in 2013.
But, no, I'm saying it's, like, still...
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. 2014, 15, 16,
17, and 18. Yeah. Which is probably not incorrect.
Yeah.
Wait, that's Call of Duty crazy. Had the number 1 selling game from 2014 through 2017.
Yep, Advanced Warfare, Black Ops 3, Infinite Warfare, and World War 2.
It's so crazy. It's so crazy how we talk about, like, we spent like probably half hour tonight talking about how boring Rockstar's design has gotten, and Grand Theft Auto is just like Grand Theft Auto 5 is just, like, this crazy powerhouse that just, I don't know, man. I understand there's like an online thing, but whatever the fuck, that's crazy, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly that online thing, like.
So it's like again, how. Wow, I've tried out Grand Theft Auto Online. Like, that's like the biggest thing ever. What the fuck? Okay, yeah. If you say so.
It's crazy.
Although I am interested to try out Red Dead's online when that comes out.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty interesting and stuff. And then the stuff on like the first 3D consoles are pretty cool. But it's also like. It's like also when you look at these top 10 games on these consoles, it's also what you would expect. Like, obviously, you look at the N64's top 10 games of all time, and they're all Nintendo releases except for GoldenEye and Star Wars Shadows of the Empire.
What? That's in the top 10?
That's number 10.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, that was probably my Saturn. Top 10.
That Hop Level.
I love that game.
Exactly. Like, I had probably 8 games for that system, honestly, when I had it.
And there weren't that many games for that system.
For the
I just...
Yeah.
It was also the period, like, when I was in high school, I didn't, like, really play games that much, honestly. Like you know, I was like, alright, I played Mario Kart and Mario 64, and, you know, I didn't realize games were something that, like, I wasn't going to move on from. Like, that they were just going to get better and better, you know?
Yeah. Sega Dreamcast is, like, half sports games.
That makes sense.
Like, NFL 2K and NFL 2K1, NBA 2K, NBA 2K1.
I do remember going over to someone's house, like, when Dreamcast first came out and he had 2K. And, you know, I'm not really a sports person, but I was like, wow, dude. Like, I was, like, blown away by it.
I mean, it's so cliche, but I had my Dreamcast up at my grandmother's 1 year for Christmas, and my brother and I were playing one of the NHL 2K games, and my dad walked by and, oh, what game are you watching?
Yeah.
We're playing it.
I'll be curious to see... this year, whether it's Red Dead or Black Ops 4.
Red Dead's already sold... I mean, I guess that's worldwide, but they said they've already sold 17 million copies.
Right, so I mean, yeah. I'm talking about this. Pink White Color is also here, and it may shock no one that Pokemon Silver and Pokemon Gold are the top 2 entries.
Nice.
Pokemon Crystal at number 5. Pokemon Pinball at number 4.
Well, we will have some Pokemon talk next week.
Yeah, we will.
Oh, do those games come out next week?
They come out Friday, don't they?
Yep. They.
Oh, shit.
Mine should be arriving sometime today.
I have no idea.
God damn
it. Why is yours arriving today?
because it is the 9th.
Because it's 1 in the morning. Friday.
Friday. 1 in the morning.
Wait, what?
Wait, I thought it came out this next week.
Wait, which game?
The Eevee Pikachu games.
That doesn't come out tomorrow. That's
next week.
Y'all are crazy.
Hold on. Open orders.
It's like Tuesday.
You're right, Tony. It says it is the 16th.
I was going to say. I was so confused.
Dude, yeah.
Why did I get screwed here? Why are you guys already?
Why did you just get it a week early?
You got me a little excited. I was like, wait, what?
Oh, I've gotten my days all mixed up, though, because I thought that Tetris Effect came out Tuesday.
I want that game on the Switch, goddammit.
Hitman comes out on Tuesday, though.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, I mean, I thought Tetris Effect came out this past Tuesday.
It did not.
Well, it comes out the 9th. So,
what the hell is going on?
Where am I getting these dates from? But okay.
That Tetris Effect game better come to the Switch.
Nah, are you kidding? It can barely run on the console right now. I think actually Sony's publishing it.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not.
What's his name? Like,
Mizuguchi.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I don't know. So it's just cool sometimes, like, because you know, NPD can sometimes be a little bit like snobbish with its data.
Yeah,
that's so true.
It's old data's fun.
Well, but like any sort of historical data is kind of cool, and stuff. Just so they can. Context about things and stuff like that.
I mean, it's being published by somebody called Enhance Entertainment or Enhance Inc., which is Mizuguchi's own company. So maybe it has a chance of coming somewhere else, but we'll see.
I would hope. I would be all over that on the Switch. Like, I'm like not getting it on PS4 because I don't like playing anything on my PS4. And I would just rather have a game like that on a Switch. I don't know.
Fair enough.
Yeah. He wanted to make a Tetris game for a long time, but EA had the rights to it for so long that that's how Luminous actually came about.
They had the rights to Tetris?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was... Like, Tetris is so ubiquitous, I keep thinking it's in, like, the public domain.
Might as well be.
I mean, it's, like, the basis of most puzzle games, so...
Some dude in the Netherlands actually owns the rights to it now, so...
Oh really? So he's just like licensing it now?
Yeah, I guess he's the founder of the Tetris company, which is partnered with Pajanov, who created Tetris. But yeah, so Tetris owns Tetris now, I guess.
All right, well that's good for Tetris.
Yeah, but I'll have Tetris next week. I guess we won't have Pokemon. Damn it! But I'll have Tetris.
I have fucking. And like a motherfucker.
Right. Hitman. And Tony, you're getting Hitman too, right?
Hitman.
Oh my god. That's gonna be so amazing. I'm telling you guys, like I played the first one recently and that game is better than you remember. It's just like exquisite.
Oh.
Can't wait for more.
You should stream some of it and I'll watch it. Let's
play through. Yeah. What, you're not going to play it, or are you...
I'm terrible at it. I prefer to just watch people play Hitman.
Yeah.
Really?
It's I prefer to watch Tony play Hitman, but...
I think there's no bad... I mean, yes, you'll fail if you're bad, but, like, there's different ways to do things. There's a million ways to do things.
Okay, I will boot it up, and
I walk in and I shoot the Paris level,
and you'll be like, "No, you're right, Chris. You are bad at this game."
Yeah, think of, like, it almost like allows you to think about it like how you would approach things in real life. Almost, it's like super deliberate and awesome. I love it so much.
Wait, so you drown people in their own vomit in a toilet in real life?
I was gonna say, do you stack bodies instead of porta potty?
You approach life differently than I do.
I mean, Chris and I have already discussed this on Movie Dudes, but I think I'm a sociopath. And yeah,
I'm not.
I mean, Tony, you're with me on this. Come on. You know,
I mean,
it's awesome.
I will not admit to being a sociopath. I will not admit to it.
We can diagnose him.
Well, here you're smarter than me, but yes, that's amazing.
All right. Well, we'll be back with Hitman and Tetris and pictures of cosplay on Peter's Instagram.
And Destiny 2, because I'm playing it right now.
And Destiny 2. So, yeah, I'd be interested because you haven't played Destiny 2 at all, right?
No, I have. I played through the whole base game.
For you on PS4, right? Yeah, okay. All right, well, we'll see what you have to say about it on PC.
Actually, hopefully next week I'll have finished editing all my photos, and then I can buy a new video game. And I want to play Overkill really bad, so.
Yeah. I hear that's an interesting adventure puzzle game, so.
Yeah, I think that's going to be my goal.
All right. We'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.